This episode is sponsored by Policy Genius. As moms who are busy, Catherine has been talking about this, we have so much going on and often we overlook protecting our financial future. We've got careers and kids and spreadsheets and all the things. And so 72% of Americans actually overestimate the actual cost of life insurance. But life insurance is a vital part of your financial wellness. And that's why I appreciate Policy Genius, because they make finding and buying life insurance simple. They make sure that your loved ones have the financial safety net they can use in case something happens to you, whether that's covering debts or routine expenses, or even to invest the money and earn interest over time. You can compare quotes from top insurers and find coverage that fits your needs and your budgets. See if Policy Genius can help you find 20-year life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. I feel like it's such a great option to have Policy Genius help you compare getting different quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks. You can even talk to their team of licensed agents. They'll walk you through the process step by step. They'll answer your questions, handle paperwork, advocate for you. They lay out your options so clearly, the coverage amounts, the terms, the prices. There's no guesswork. Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. They have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. If you want to head over to policygenius.com, you can compare life insurance quotes and get the coverage you need. Because being financially protected, that's the ultimate self-care. Again, that's policygenius.com. Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you to people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 550, I'm welcoming back to the show my friend, Jess Connolly.
So what I've learned is that the shepherd would never take the sheep through a valley if there wasn't provision on the other side. There would be no reason to go into danger. They would never take their sheep into danger if there wasn't provision on the other side. If there wasn't water, if there wasn't a pasture, if there wasn't some greater promise on the other side. So, I mean, right, we can hold both of these things of like, and there is victory, and there is provision, and there is hope, and there is our ultimate good. There just has to be. But when you're in the valley of the shadow of death, I think what we can't do is prescribe what the provision is going to be. We can't even really imagine it, but I think we can say like, but he is here with me.
Jess has been on the show many times before. We've linked to those in the show notes. And this conversation will stand out in my mind. And thankfully, it's an easy number to remember, 550. Jess and I have had some in-person, real deep conversations. And I feel like in this one, you are getting to listen in. Her newest book, What Comes Next, 40 Days of Healing After Heartbreak, Burnout, or Brokenness. That's where we are in this conversation. And if that's where you are, just in the midst of it even, you don't even gotten to a resolution of a painful time, then I think you're going to find some comfort in the upcoming words you hear. We're going to talk about the myth of prosperity gospel parenting, the pressure to assign purpose to a painful season. We're going to rethink Psalm 23, and you heard a little bit of that in that clip. Learning to lament, which to me was such a helpful thing in the midst of grief, and even an exclusive sneak peek of her next book. I'm excited to share this with you, so let's get right to it. Here we go. Jess, I mean, it's like having a sis come over and we're just having coffee. It's so good to have you back on the show.
I want to tell you of the, like, if I had to pick like 10 people that I could live in the same city with, you are at the top of the list. Oh. I would never get off your sofa. Oh. And I can appreciate that you just hit record on this podcast and we've already laughed and cried and prayed. And we none of that was recorded, which I appreciate.
Oh man, it has been a long time.
At your house.
Yeah, I was looking at my contacts, and I had a phone number from 10. How many years ago? 10 years ago?
Literally, like so many cities ago. I mean, that was a Seattle zip code. The last time I lived in Seattle was 2010.
Oh my gosh! And I think you came on the show when I was still in the single digits of recording. I feel like I need a look.
Wow.
Either you or Haley. I don't know.
And this is episode what?
I don't even know. Oh, 550. That's a nice even round. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's been a minute. This is what I do now.
You're a faithful podcaster.
People are like, when is she going to quit this thing? And I was just telling you, like, I know moms have been with me this whole journey of me and what I thought were challenges 12 years ago. And they were legitimately hard for
me.
And if you're in that mom in that season with, you know, a 6'4", 2 and newborn, that is legit hard. It's legit hard.
Yeah.
And it can feel like you're in a stuck in a burnout place. And also having teenagers and college kids. And I know enough moms in this season, but there is a lot of heartache and a lot of disappointment and a lot of thinking we're doing all the things right. And so that equals good outcomes, whether that's in our own personal spiritual life and we've just hit rock bottom in a variety of ways, or our kids aren't quote unquote turning out like we thought. And I just love that you get this. You're in this stage too. And not only do you get it, you wrote about it and you gave us encouragement. So I just want to say thank you.
Mm. That's my actual joy. And I'm so grateful to be in it with you too. And I don't think there's any hindsight. I don't think there's any experience that says that I would have talked any differently about it 12 years ago. I don't know. I mean, this is kind of what you and I were talking about before. This kind of, I like to call it the prosperity gospel of parenting. This idea that like I can do 1 + 2 and I will get 3. And even when those things are spiritual, even when those things are prayer, even when those things are teaching them the word of God, and ultimately what actually happens is that turns out we birthed whole humans who are going to have their own whole story with the Lord. And we cannot save them from their testimony. And I think most of us would not choose to. Mm-hmm. And also God is still working out our story, our salvation, our understanding of the gospel. And so there's like these dual tornadoes of brokenness and weakness kind of just like constantly grappling in one house. And then if you have multiple kids and you've got like up to however many tornadoes, that's a serious weather system, you know? And I don't know that I would change it any way. I don't know that I would change anything about how I talked about parenting and motherhood 10 years ago. I don't know that I would have changed any intention I put into nap time. I don't know that I would listen any more closely to moms at our stage saying like it's gonna go so quick. I don't know. I think you kind of got to be where you're at.
Yeah. And I've kind of hinted at it, but you wrote a book, a devotional called What Comes Next, and its subtitle is 40 Days of Healing After Heartbreak, Burnout, or Brokenness. And how many books are you up to now? I know you just turned in a manuscript, but how many?
That was my 12th. That was my 12th book.
Settle
what comes
down.
Next is my 12th.
Settle down.
Settle down.
So many books. Okay. But you, I mean, I know how this works. Maybe not everybody does, but you get contracts and you kind of are required to write. And you and I had talked, I don't even know what book you'd written or why we were talking, but afterwards you and I got real about what was actually going on in life. And and you had to write the next book, right? So okay, talk to us about that. Like we just said, we get it. We're in this season. Oh, I don't know if we've done any different, but we are in this place of heartache and And so many people wait until it's tied up with a bow, but you didn't. So talk to us about what season you were in and why you needed this.
So winter 2023, December 2023, we're coming up on winter 2025. Winter 2023, seemingly out of nowhere, but, you know, turns out wasn't out of nowhere. My husband had a mental health crisis. And my like steady, patient, calm, chill, never stressed husband all of a sudden started having debilitating panic attacks that actually uncovered in the midst of that, we uncovered some heart issues.
Like some actual physical heart issues?
Some actual physical heart issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you know the Christian word, like his soul. Okay.
We did both. We uncovered spiritual, but also some physical heart issues. His physical heart issues are okay. He went on some medication. He's going to be good. But that was the first like, okay, hold on. There's a breaking. Mm-hmm. Really shortly after that. So that was December 2023. January, February, March, April of 2024. All the adults in my family had books coming out. My sister and brother-in-law had a book come out in January 2024. Nick's book came out in February 2024. My mom had a book come out in about prayer, April 2024. And then I had a book, Tired of Being Tired, coming out in, or hers came out in March, mine came out in April 2024. So we had this like kind of stretch of crazy 4 months. In the midst of that, found out my stepdad was, he was also having some heart complications. And he went in for one heart procedure and they said like, okay, we're going to need more than this. And so he went in for open heart surgery a few weeks after my mom's book on prayer came out and right before my book came out in April. And he never woke up from that surgery. He passed away due to complications from his surgery. And so our family was devastated. We're all the adults in our family are incredibly close. All our kids are really close. We do life together. We go to church together. You know, we say he was like the mayor of our church. And all of that was also very public because all of us live pretty public lives. And so his funeral was on a Sunday. My book, Tired of Being Tired, came out on a Tuesday. The following Tuesday. And so I think I talked to you probably in the like 6 to 8 week stretch after that. In that 6 to 8 week stretch, also one of my kids began going through, just basically began going through like a really intense time that privately became like the biggest trauma our family's ever walked through. And all of that, you know, people online knew we were going through something. We would say we were going through something. I would podcast and say like, well, then we're going through something. It's not our marriage, but like, we can't really talk about it. And still, it's not my story to tell, but it was and continued on for about 16 months to be just the biggest traumatic thing I've ever walked through. And in the middle of that, I was contracted to write a book. And so the book was supposed to be a devotional on fatigue. So the idea was like, okay, you've just had Tired of Being Tired come out. Why don't you write like 40 days of rest or something like that? And so I was like, great, I can do that. I got that. I can do that in my sleep. Getting off the phone call. And I will say my publisher was so gracious. They were like, listen, you're going through trauma. You don't have to write anything. And I was like, well, you know, whatever. It's my job. So I'll just keep going. And I feel like I can write about, you know, rest and fatigue. And at the very end of the Zoom call with my editor, she said, hey, I have an idea. I think it might be from the Lord. Take it or leave it. She said, I wonder what it would be like for you to write a devotional to yourself in the middle of this. And she said, you know, you're walking through such intense heartache and you're a words girl. And she said, I just perceive you might be able to access some victory and authority about what you need to hear right now that, you know, you may not ever be able to access like this raw again. And she was like, I'm only saying if it would be a blessing for you to write, basically to write to yourself right now. I've never done that. I'm a big, I write to my who, I write to a specific woman. I write to about 3 to 5 women. I'm writing for them. I'm not writing for me. And so that was a shift for me. But that's what I did. I wrote What Comes Next. It's a 40-day devotional. It mostly focuses on the letters of Paul. I was also in a seminary class at the time where I was learning about Paul. And so it kind of became this beautiful like conglomeration of I was really so grateful to be learning about the Apostle Paul and his suffering and his biblical take on suffering. And so it just kind of worked. Now, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't cute. The writing, it broke my heart. I realized, you know, that I kind of had to adjust my thinking because I had this perspective that once I wrote it, I would be like writing myself to some kind of breakthrough. And the book even says, you know, it says 40 Days of Healing for Women After Heartbreak, Burnout, and Brokenness. The original subtitle was 40 Days of Breakthrough, because I had this idea that like, I still had it in me. If we pray, if we say the right things, if we tuck in here, we're going to see renewal. And in fact, everything that was broken in my life was still broken when I was done writing it. But it did change my heart and my life a little bit.
This episode is brought to you thanks to sponsors like Branch Basics. And if y'all have been listening to the show, you know that I'm trying to clean up all the things, whether it's the food we eat or the skincare I use or the makeup. And it's funny to think that I need to clean up my cleaning products, but it's true. And I'm thrilled that I have found Branch Basics. And if you want this holiday season to give a gift that truly matters, health, you need to check them out, because Branch Basics believes creating a safe and healthy home is one of the most important things you can do for the people you love. Now, here's what I love about their products. One, you don't get the toxic fragrance or the harsh disinfectants that can irritate your skin or disrupt your hormones. Their product, which is amazing, has plant and mineral-based solutions. So you can clean every room in your house from top to bottom without harmful chemicals. These products work. And when you get your starter kit, it's going to come with one concentrate. I don't know if that's going to make sense to you, but it makes perfect sense when your starter kit comes. It's a concentrate that then you can fill the other bottles they give you with the amount it tells you on the side of water, and then the concentrate. And you can clean your kitchen counters, your bathroom tile, even your laundry, your produce, your makeup brushes. It's this refill system, and each bottle will come out to $2.13. And one concentrate will fill 13 different times. It's amazing. I love that everything is biodegradable, human safe. If you have pets, it's great for you. If you suffer from eczema, allergies, asthma, making the switch to Branch Basics can actually help you breathe easier during this festive season. So get yourself and your loved ones the best gift of all, the gift of clean with Branch Basics. For a limited time only, our listeners get 15% off and free shipping on their premium starter pack when you use the code DMA at branchbasics.com/DMA. That's 15% off your order at branchbasics.com/DMA with promo code DMA. Please support our show. Tell them that we sent you. Get Branch Basics this holiday season, because cleanliness matters. It's so, like, the phrases you're saying, you mentioned it earlier, the prosperity gospel idea, but that whole concept, even in suffering, of,
yeah.
One, I've sat with enough people who are just kind of stuck because their mind is so blown by the fact that they've worked so hard to get it right.
Yeah.
And how could this be my life? Like, that is the phrase. Yeah. How could this be my life? I've worked so hard. And so then you're in that stuck place and you're like, okay, now I'm going to work really hard for my healing. I'm going to do all the therapies. I'm going to do all the things and da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I'm still in the heartache and the despair. And it's like, that mom is listening right now, or dad, you don't discriminate. Right.
Yeah.
Now. And so I just think it's good for them to hear you say, yeah, the circumstances didn't change. There was a shift in me. And I'd love to hear more about what that shift was.
Yeah. I feel like you just said something that is really incredibly important. That phrase, like, I don't know how this is happening. Like, this isn't what it's supposed to look like. You know, what our friend Lisa Turkers would say, like, it's not supposed to be this way. Mm. What's interesting is something that happened to me as I wrote What Comes Next is that I realized that phrase is actually really important. Mm. And I actually want to be saying that on my best day too.
Mm.
I want to be saying, like, I didn't deserve any of this on my worst day and on my best day. I want to be saying, like, how did we get here? when I'm surrounded by blessing in the same way as like when I'm surrounded by heartache. Yeah. This is the thing, especially with parenting. When we see a good outcome, when we see fruit, when we see positivity, when we see hope and healing, and we think like, I did that.
Little pat on the back.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. I followed the plan. Woe be it to us. I mean, woe be it to us if we try to put our hands on the fruit that only God can grow.
Yeah.
And likewise, when we are experiencing heartbreak and heartache and our kids, our family doesn't look the way we thought it would, I hope that we will still be the same women saying like, you know, I don't know that I could have caused this. Do I have a hand in it? For sure. Do I get to adjust? Do I get to learn? Do I get to shift what I do and what I say? Absolutely. But I don't cause the best parts of my life. And I don't know that I can, my good actions can circumvent the worst parts of my life. Mm-hmm. And so I will say that's one thing that shifted in me in writing this book. Another is this, it's interesting. I'm in seminary right now, and I feel like I've learned a lot about how to study the Bible. I've learned a lot about how I want to study the Bible. I don't typically know how to do it yet. I've learned how to like think deeper about different areas, but I would say the biggest thing that shifted in me is that I think I've learned maybe how to question myself or how to question my thought processes in a really healthy way, mm-hmm. not in a shame-based way, but in a, hold on, like, how did I get here? So all that being said, I'm getting somewhere with this. Yesterday, I was in a seminary class, and I'm 2 years in with this cohort. I'm going to seminary with the same group of women. We've been just like slogging it out together in life and in ministry and in school. And yesterday we were talking about praying with a resurrection mindset. Hmm. And we were talking about some book of N.T. Wright's and this Easter prayer and like how to pray with a resurrection mindset. And I just said like, if I could confess, I really still struggle with this. And I said, I'm very good at Good Friday. Like, I'm really good at weakness and brokenness and repentance and reflection and 2 Corinthians 12:9, if power is made perfect in weakness. I'm not as good at a resurrection mindset. So we were all kind of discussing this, and we were saying it's so interesting because depending on your past and depending on the people you've been around, and some of us like just identify with Jesus and his suffering a lot better than we identify with him and his resurrection. And some of us are like, I only want the resurrection. I only want the redemption. I only want the victory. I only want the healing. I don't want the suffering. And really through this discussion, where we landed is like, we can't get one without the other.
Yeah,
we just can't. Like, neither means anything without the other. And I feel like that, I learned that through writing What Comes Next. Is that I wanted, you know, you and I have been in this together. Like, we've been in this like online writing podcasting world for
too long,
going on 2 decades. I know, too long. And I think to some degree, I still wanted my death and resurrection story, my weakness and his power made perfect. And I wanted that to be like the old stuff that happened a long time ago. I didn't want it to keep happening. Mm-hmm. But we can't get one without the other. So we can't keep going in this if we don't let ourselves feel the disappointment of where we're at right now.
Yeah. And I've sat with people and they're like, I don't know if I'm going through this and it's because God's teaching me something. I don't know. Like, everyone, there's also the question of like, what is the purpose of this? As if we have to find the purpose in order to be okay with it happening. Did you find yourself struggling with that? Like, is this about me? Is this about my kid? Is this about my husband? Is this about like my journey? Like, we are trying to make sense of it so we can keep going. Did you find yourself even releasing that, or where'd you land on that?
I do think I did. And you know why? I think actually seminary helped. And I think the amount of pain that we went through in a short amount of time helped me, because when it was Nick's mental health crisis, and when it was my stepdad's death, and when it was, you know, my kid's crisis, and then our house flooded, And we like, and then I wrecked a car, and like, it was just all these things, and everybody wanted to prescribe purpose to it. Like I was like, I absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think something rose up in me where, because everybody else wanted to do it, I was like, we're not doing this anymore. Mm. I do believe that God doesn't waste our pain. Mm. I do believe that he uses it for our ultimate good. I do believe if he's any kind of God worth worshiping, we may not be able to understand it. And I know we want a PDF. I want a PDF sometimes too, you know, that somebody slides across the table and they're like, here's this chart. Here's what happened. Here's what it produced in you.
Here's the reason you're going through this. Yeah.
But you know why else that's problematic? Because it still paints every pain point and every season of suffering as if it has an end, and it doesn't. So we want, especially in motherhood, when we walk through these disappointing seasons or when we walk through these trials with our kids, we want it to have an end. And the point is, like, they are human. So as long as they're alive and as long as we're moms, there's going to be brokenness. And as long as we're walking with the Lord, there's going to be little glimpses of victory and healing and hope too. Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
But it's not going to, I don't think it's as linear as we want it to be.
Yeah. And I've heard you talk about Psalm 23 as it relates to this. Cause I literally was with someone yesterday and I was like, it was the most I've been with someone where this is the valley of the shadow of death. Like I have never been that close to someone else's valley. And I think what we like about that language is that it does have an end, right? Like the valley.
Yeah.
But tell me about, you know, did you meditate on that or what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is where I'll get a little bit victory again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we can bring it back. Psalm 23. He leads me by side still waters. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the shepherd, this is what I've learned in my studies of Israelite shepherds. First of all, it's helpful to remember that I think a lot of the teaching that we might have heard, I hear different things from different people, but I think a lot of the teaching we might have heard about shepherds is actually pretty wrong. It's not contextual for the ancient Near East. Like, for example, if you've ever heard, like, you know, sheep are stupid, like the shepherd is going to use the rod to beat them. Like, actually not true. Not what the rod is for at all. The rod is, like, you know, going to scoop the shepherd out of pain and harm. I can't remember. No, the staff is to scoop the sheep out of harm. The rod is actually to beat up other animals that would come for the sheep.
It's like protection against the harm that would
happen. Protection from everybody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the idea that a shepherd would beat his sheep is actually, like, unfathomable.
Well, it's
like
his, the shepherd it's would die money. For their sheep. Either
it's his money.
Either he's taking care of somebody else's stuff and he's got to,
yeah,
it's their investment and he's got to bring them back healthy, wealthy, wise. Or two, it's his own and he would never, they're like his children. He's not going to.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. They know that they know his voice. He knows them individually.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that being said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So what I've learned is that the shepherd would never take the sheep through a valley if there wasn't provision on the other side. There would be no reason to go into danger. They would never take their sheep into danger if there wasn't provision on the other side. If there wasn't water, if there wasn't a pasture, if there wasn't some greater promise on the other side. So, I mean, right, we can hold both of these things of like, and there is victory. And there is provision and there is hope and there is our ultimate good. There just has to be either that or we are on a rock hurtling through space with no reason. But when you're in the valley of the shadow of death, you can't, I think what we can't do is prescribe what the provision is going to be. We can't even really imagine it, but I think we can say, like, but he is here with me.
Yeah. It's real dark. I can't see what's, because that's the hardest part when you're in that heartache is you can't even imagine the outcome. I mean, I know in your own life, like you've seen miraculous turnarounds that you couldn't have imagined. You couldn't have come up with. We say that like beyond my imagination, right? Like, actually, if I would have imagined an outcome, it probably would have been worse. Like God's imagination and his ability is greater. So let's trust him with that outcome or provision. It may not be in our lifetime, but I want people to hear too, like while you didn't know when you were writing, like you've seen him do things.
Yeah, I have. And I think we all will. And the thing that I finally learned at the end of this, you know, and again, I say the end, but we're not at the end. We're just never at the end, because also raising kids. And apparently what you and I are learning is raising adult kids is whack-a-mole. Mm. Like you hit one and you get it handled and the next thing pops up, you know? So you're just like, okay, let's look alive.
Like, surely we've hit the box. Surely this is hard enough.
Surely. No. But I will say we had a moment. So all of this began happening in December 2023. We had a moment in May 2025, so just a few months ago, where the most overt crisis started to look like, okay, there is light. Mm. Like there is light. And we had made it through the first year after my stepdad's death. And while we were still very much in grief, it wasn't this raw, like we're going to die. You know, we are so sad. We're not going to make it through the day. And, just all these like little things kind of started to like alleviate. And I was actually talking to some of the gals that I disciple. And one day I was telling them, I said, can I be honest with you guys? I said, I'm actually like having a harder time processing my faith now that some of the healing is coming again, because I'm good at Good Friday. Mm. And there's a part of me that it's easier for me to trust the Lord in brokenness than it is to trust him in healing. Mm. And, I said, I'm like almost having a little bit of a whiplash because I had really just gotten to this place with the Lord where I was like, I'll worship you. Even if you don't heal it, I'll praise you in this storm. I will be bound in suffering with you. And then all of a sudden there was this alleviation. And I was like, now I'm having a hard time reconciling, you know, do I worship you for your heart or do I worship you for your hand? And I couldn't get my hands around it. And so I started just writing out statements of like, what did I learn in this? What is true about this? What is true about him? Because how can I can't replicate some of this healing, but like, how can I replicate what I've learned in the heartache? So here's the only thing I will say that I like landed on, you know, a year after writing What Comes Next is I cannot call God a healer and not expect him to heal. Hmm. I cannot call God a savior and never think he's going to save. I cannot call him a redeemer and not keep praying for redemption. Yeah. And I think I want to be the kind of woman who worships who he is, not just what he can do. But at the end of the day, I cannot separate these two things.
Yeah. That's really good. Who he is
what he does.
All those, what he does. They're like in his name. Wow.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you thanks to sponsors like Jones Road Beauty. Okay, y'all, I think it was my birthday last March when friends of mine got me the Jones Road Beauty Miracle Balm, their bestseller, and it was in a bronzer, and oh my goodness. Now, here's the story. I am 48, okay? I didn't know how to use a bronzer. I had to watch a tutorial, but I'm telling you, when I added on, it's like this minimalist, awesome product that makes me feel so much better. And of course, it was made by none other than makeup artist Bobbi Brown. And she was wanting to create versatile, easy-to-use products that simplify your routine. And all of their products, every formula is clean and filled with skin-loving ingredients. And they have a really great holiday collection. They just launched. It's giftable. They have 5 limited edition kits in the collection. Trios that have holiday shades, products, packaging. If you are gifting to someone or you want to get it for yourself to get ready for holiday parties, go check out these curated sets because they're going to take the guesswork out of your makeup routine. And don't miss it because these sets won't be there for very long. Now, I told you about their bestseller, Miracle Balm, which I have, and I have the bronzer version. I also got like a warm, dusty rose color that I can use as a blush. It's such a multitasker. You can use it as a tint, a blush, a bronzer, a highlighter, even on your lips. And it replaces almost all the products in your makeup bag. And you don't have to worry about when you're traveling. This is what I love. That it's going to break up or cause a big mess in your bag. It travels so, so well. So this holiday season, simplify your routine with makeup that's clean, strategic, multifunctional. From November 18th to December 1st, Jones Road is doing their first ever Black Friday sale. So go to jonesroadbeauty.com to get up to 20% off site-wide. That's jonesroadbeauty.com for up to 20% off your entire order. And after you purchase, they're going to ask where you heard about them. So remember, please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Do you feel equipped to teach your kids about sex, sexuality, and gender? Well, Sex Ed Reclaimed exists to provide parents, teachers, and leaders with an entire curriculum made just for kids ages 3 to 18, but different curriculum for different ages, only age-appropriate content for all of childhood with engaging curriculum that was created by sex ed teacher Kristen Miele. Get all the content at her website and break the cycle of silence or shame when it comes to educating your children on sex and sexuality. Sex Ed Reclaimed offers a full curriculum with lifetime access. So with that in mind, visit sexedreclaimed.com to get your family's video curriculum today. I think hope is such a hard thing when you're in that heartache and burnout and brokenness. And so you are getting the glimpses of hope. And so you can be the one who shines it to the person who's in that stuck place.
Yeah.
And they really feel like, oh my gosh, I've lost so much momentum. Like I can't see a way out. It's so dark. Like, what would you say to them who's just scared and just in that place, like from where you are?
I'm curious. I want to hear your answer too. I want to hear what's helped you in places of darkness, because I'm trying to think both, like what people said to me that helped me have hope when I didn't have any, and what I would say to people. So I'll just be raw.
Okay. Like that.
I had some really bravely stupid friends.
Not like a Job kind of stupid.
Job friends. I mean, just stupid brave.
Okay.
Yeah. Who got in my face and said, your son's going to come back. Mm. And they had no right to say it. And I believed them. Mm. And I don't know if they were scared to say it. I don't know if they would leave and think, oops.
Shouldn't make promises I can't keep. Yeah.
Right. But I had some people who were stupid enough and brave enough and foolish enough to say, I'm going to tell her that God is going to do the one thing that she needs, even though I have no reason to believe it. And I would even follow up and be like, you sure? And they would say, mm-hmm.
It feels like they're holding the hope. They're holding the faith for you. Like they're having belief where you could have no belief. Like in the unseen thing, the thing that hasn't happened yet.
And I'll tell you this, if he hadn't, I wouldn't be mad at them.
Mm.
I think I needed people to say the bravely foolish, God is going to do the most thing. And that really helped me. And so I think I want to do that for other people. I think I want to say the crazy thing. And I would say the other thing that people did for me that I want to do for the rest of my life is that on on the flip side of that, they would just let me say how hard it was. And they didn't try to talk me out of it. They didn't try to spiritually bypass or tell me that if I had faith, I wouldn't feel it. They would affirm, hey, you're grieving because you love your dad. You don't need to button this up for us. It is awful. Death is awful. So just tell us. And I, by the way, I think that's how we get to grieving with hope, you know? And then on the flip side of that, same with the situation with our son, there were people who just said, like, you're right, this is the worst thing. This is the worst thing. It's just like you just said for your friend, this is the valley of the shadow of death.
This is the worst thing. Yeah. Just this is the worst. Be with and let them say the things that I think sometimes in those places we feel a lot of shame. Because we do connect that prosperity idea of this is because I did something wrong or I didn't do enough. And so this situation is my fault. We do that a lot. And counselors don't help when they say, tell me about your mother. Like, okay, enough of that. Okay. I don't need to take all the blame.
Literally.
But yeah, like to think about what I would say, to be honest, I think what helped me the most was sitting with Jesus. And really just saying, what do I need to see? And I did this one activity where it was like, it was at a retreat and you're supposed to be at a crossroads and ask God, like, what do you want me to see in this? And the crossroads was, and we'd been talking about surrender all weekend and God's kingdom and yada, yada. To my left was God's kingdom. And I know all about that. Like from the readings, I know. That's a good thing. God's kingdom, good thing. Should surrender to that. But in front of me was my kingdom, and it is straight up in flames, burning to the ground. And I am angry, crying, blaming, shame, like all these emotions, but I just keep standing in front of it, facing it, watching it burn, feeling all these things. And like you said, with grief, a friend of mine said that process of letting it burn, letting all the dead things, the people that have passed or the loss of the dreams or the expectations, it's like a forest where you have all this overgrowth that's like old dead wood. You have got to let it burn so that the new things can grow. And I feel like in that crossroads moment, I needed to watch it burn so that I can turn towards God's kingdom. Because it was like, the question, why aren't you pursuing mine and over yours? Like, why are you keep putting energy towards this when I have this? And what if the hard thing is actually for my greater good or for salvation to come to someone I'm hoping comes because of your child being in a space they wouldn't be in if you had this perfectly planned out path? Like, I've gotten to bear witness to that. Like, God has given me the gift of seeing glimpses of stories where the gospel is being spread in places that may not, because I've let go of my kingdom. Like,
come on,
that's the bigger goal. And so anyway, I do think those moments where you can encourage friends to meet with Jesus and just be with, because he knows what you need so intimately more than any person. But then I love that we get to hold faith for each other in places where we're struggling. Yeah. And say the foolish things. And I mean, even if you're,
thank you, God.
Yeah. If you have a parent right now that's walking through really hard cancer treatment or whatever, and I've done that with a friend, and it's like, it feels foolish to pray that they're healed completely. But is it okay that I pray that for you? Like, can I hold out that faith for you that we know God is capable? Yeah. And if He doesn't, there must be a reason why. But I can be that friend for you. So,
yeah. Whew. I want to be that friend for you.
You're sweet. Well, y'all, I would talk to Jess forever, and we've already, like she said, cried and laughed. Is there any rhythm that you learned or spiritual practice? We know we just said we're not doing these things to get the outcome, but at the same time, I've found myself in those heartache places, just like getting rid of them. Because of that mindset, like they didn't work, so goodbye, but then I miss out on the presence in care of God.
Yeah, that's real. Well, first of all, it's so interesting. So I wrote What Comes Next, like, you know, our world kind of fell apart like April, May, 2024. I was done writing by September, probably. I was done writing the devotional by September. And I just stopped reading the Bible for about 2 months. And I think it was probably like November, 2024, that one morning I was like sitting out in the living room having my quiet time. And by that, I mean, I was watching reels. Like my Bible was beside me. It wasn't like a conscious decision.
No.
It wasn't. This is the most, you know, yeah. I was like a little ill. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so I was watching reels instead of reading my Bible. And my kind and lovely husband, about an hour later, was like, "Hey, how was your quiet time this morning?" And I was like, "Oh, I didn't have one." It's like I didn't read the Bible. And he said, "Oh, I know, because I could hear your reels playing very loudly." And he said, I think it's time, you know, to get back in God's word." And so all that being said, even about the spiritual disciplines, I think that there are some seasons of grief and pain and heartache and disappointment where we realize that we have been going after the things of God to earn something, even if we teach people not to do that.
Yeah.
Even if it's been my whole job to tell people,
belief that
it's still there.
Yeah.
It's still there. If I do this, if I pray this. So all that being said, where I kind of started was just emoting with the Lord. Mm. Just emoting with him again.
Like a lament. Yeah.
Lament would be the godly word for it, for sure. It's funny. You were talking about like a retreat and you were at a crossroads. A big one for me was I went to a secular retreat and I had to act out me and the Lord. And at some point, the therapist in the room brought me a huge foam mat and a bat and said, like, "Do you want to do some business?" And that was probably one of the most healing things that happened for me in the Lord. Mm-hmm. To just have to yell at him and say, you know, I was on your team. I was doing your work. I did what you wanted me to do. Yeah. And then on the flip side of that, to hear him say, like, "I know, and I never left you, and I'll never forsake you. And this breaks my heart more than it breaks your heart." And all that being said, so I started back with emoting with the Lord, just lamenting, yeah, journaling, saying to him, "This is awful.
Yeah.
This is awful. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?"
Yeah.
And I think definitely I learned and cemented this idea that anger expressed to God is intimacy. And it always usually lands me in some place of just wild compassion and mercy, like mm-hmm. feeling that from him. So, but then I would say there's a moment to get back on the horse to all of the disciplines that you maybe used to do to earn fruit in your life, to get back on the horse, not because you have to do those things, but because you realize, they're actually for you. Mm-hmm. They're actually like the thing, the lifeline for you.
Just take a deep breath. Everyone, take a deep breath. Yeah, that's real. We are, you've written about bodies, right? Like we are actual mm-hmm. bodies, and that whole like hitting a mat makes sense to me. You just got to get it out. I've done a lot of those. They call them experientials in my group.
Yes.
I've done a lot of those. They're very helpful, y'all. This is real. Like
it's real.
God's good. He gives us these things and people to go through it with. And so,
yeah.
Thank you for, I don't know, if someone doesn't have community, mm-hmm. like we said, especially in the teen years, this can be their stories. And so it becomes incredibly isolating. And maybe just to even hear us talking so freely about the heartache and the hope is giving them a little light today. So,
thanks for doing that. I hope so.
Yeah. And keep,
I hope so.
Keep following Jess along. She's got about 40 more books in her. Seminary now. Watch out. Watch out. Who knows?
This is me all day.
What's the, you know what? The, well, you can't say what the next one's called or what it's about. Do we get an exclusive? No. Mm-mm.
No one told me not to.
Oh, okay. What's it about?
I won't say the title, but I can tell you what it's about.
Okay.
It's about fear. It's about, it's a physiological and spiritual and mental look at fear and what it actually is.
Wow. I like it. Much needed these days. Thanks, Jess.
Terrifying times.
Terrifying. Peace. Okay. Have a good one. Talk soon.
I love you.
Love you too. Here are some of the questions that our podcast club will be discussing this week. Have you been in a season where everything seemed to be falling apart or on fire? And how did you view God in that season? Did Jess's explanation of the rod and staff change the way you see Psalm 23 and how? We often walk away from spiritual disciplines in a devastating season. Are there any disciplines you feel God calling you back to? And can you enter into those with the purpose of seeking God alone and not to earn something? I'm going to pray over us. Lord, I specifically pray for the person who is listening right now, and they are in the shadow of the valley, and it is hard to believe there's good on the other side, and there's hard in even crying out to you, Lord. And I pray for space for them to lament. I know you meet them right where they are. They don't have to do anything for your presence to surround them. I pray, Lord, that there would be a person or a scripture or a song that would cross their path to remind them of your presence, and that when they don't even have the strength to keep going, someone or something through the power of your Holy Spirit would be that breeze behind their back that pushes them forward. And I pray for those who aren't in the valley seasons, that we could be tender to your Holy Spirit's prompting, and we would send the text, we would offer the hand, we would do the thing without being told to do the thing, and be your body here on earth, Lord. I know you are the great healer and the great redeemer of all things, and in the midst and in the waiting, I pray you would embolden our faith to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all, I'll meet you back here next week. I can't even believe it. I can't even believe we're already in December. And I got to talk with the Lee Strobel of Case for Christ, and we're talking about miracles and a cool documentary he got to be a part of, and he's going to share some little things he learned about the Christmas story and prophecies, and it's just going to be a great episode. So meet me back here next week. I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving, and I am grateful for you. That's what I'm going to say. I'm very grateful for you for taking the time to listen and to continue to allow me to have this be my job in this season of parenting. So thank you for supporting me. And for sharing with your friends, and I don't take it for granted. All right, have a good one. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news. The great news that you're not alone, because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.